You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Marcus Stroman outpitched Kodai Senga on Wednesday night, delivering a series victory to his Chicago Cubs. Should the New York Mets consider reuniting with Marcus Stroman at the deadline? We'll be discussing that throughout the show. In the first segment, I'm going to recap the game, what we saw from Stroman, what we saw from Senga, what we saw from Francisco Alvarez with the big home run. Second segment, I want to discuss Stroman's time with the Mets, his time moving on to the Cubs, and what he's done since. And then the last segment, I'm going to look across the league and see what starting pitchers would potentially be available at the deadline and why Stroman might be the best option. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. You can also find some of my writing at justbaseball.com, where I work as the managing editor. It was a rough game for the Mets on Wednesday. Flat out, Marcus Stroman beat him. That simple. If Marcus Stroman was in a Mets uniform going up against the best lineup in baseball, and I'm certainly not saying the Mets are that, but let's just say it was Marcus Stroman pitching against, who's the best lineup right now? The Rangers? You want to say it's, hey, Stroman against the Braves. And he went out and he gave you 8 innings and he turned a double play and he did a Derek Jeter jump throw when he didn't really need to, but it was cool because he would have been on the Mets and so you were fired up about it and he was pumping his chest and you were loving it every minute of it like we did many times back in 2021, and the Mets won a game against a team that you would say is maybe better than them. You would say, hey, shout out to Stroman for being awesome tonight. So I can't 2 years later suddenly retroactively be upset when Marcus Stroman is a great pitcher, because the fact is this guy's a really good pitcher, okay? I know that he's not popular among Mets fans. And so just looking at the title of the podcast today, there's some of you that are probably just either tuning out or tuning in to tune out, tuning in because you're mad at the entire concept of trading for Marcus Stroman. I'm going to get into the layers of that, later. But that's what we saw today. We saw Marcus Stroman at his best. Okay, we saw the version of Marcus Stroman that, you know, gets the $25 million a year. We saw why. I mean, Marcus Stroman was getting ground balls, and he retired the Mets in order in all but 2 innings. The third inning, Mark Canha got a bloop hit, and what did they say? Bloop and a blast. We always love that, right? Put the Mets up, okay, because Francisco Alvarez got the blast, and at the time, there was no score, so Alvarez comes up in that spot, gets a hanging slider, somehow gets it through the wind, which not easy to do. You see how many balls died tonight that you thought were going to go out? I know for sure Seiya Suzuki hit one that should have left the yard and ends up hitting off the ivy. It is not easy to homer at Wrigley this time of year. And incredible by Francisco Alvarez to show that power. Part of me almost wanted to lean right back into it, say, today's show is about Francisco Alvarez again, but I talked about him 2 days ago. This guy is clearly the starting catcher with the New York Mets. There's no doubt about it. Defensively, too, just a massive difference between him and Gary Sanchez. Gary Sanchez letting pass balls go, can't catch a pop-up. Alvarez makes a great catch on a pop-up. He's commanding one of the toughest pitchers in baseball probably to handle in Senga, who was wild today again. What did he walk? 5 guys, Kodai Senga? It was 6 hits, 5 walks, 3 allowed, 6 strikeouts. He should have given up more runs in this game, and it's credit to his ability to pitch out of jams that he didn't. There was the one bad inning in the third where he gave up 3, and that was really it for him. Find his way through 5, didn't get the Mets a ton of length, the pitch count really high. Meanwhile, you look at Marcus Stroman, and I don't think I was really paying attention to the pitch count for whatever reason on the Stroman side, because maybe you're just looking at it more, for a Mets pitcher. But it was like, what was it, the sixth or the seventh inning, and the pitch count was at like 60. I think it was already in the seventh. And that pitch count, I mean, I was like, he's going to go the whole game, and he ends up going eight. But that's really kind of cut and dry what happened in this one. There's really not much more analysis I can give you. I think Kodai Senga is still feeling it. I think he's still, you know, in the process of navigating MLB lineups, major league cities. There's a lot. Like, he looks like a rookie out there. He just does. You know, I know when they come over from the NPB, some of these international free agents, you think, all right, you know, these are guys that have had a long career in Japan, and they're going to come over and they're going to just find that success, and they're going to be veterans, you know. But this, it does not look like Tanaka with the Yankees with Senga. But you see the flashes of brilliance. I mean, I could pull the stats on the Ghost Fork. The Ghost Fork is one of the best pitchers in baseball this year. He's getting incredible amounts of whiffs on. He's getting his strikeouts. No one is squaring up that pitch at all. So he really has a pitch that over time can continue to translate into more and more success. He's got a really good fastball. It's just a matter of attacking the zone and kind of figuring out sequencing. I don't know if it's just the difference on the MLB game and MLB hitters, and maybe, I don't know if MLB hitters have more information. I really don't know why it seems like he is this wild. It is something that I think did, you know, kind of come over with him, that idea that, okay, we'll see what the control looks like. But that's been the biggest issue. If he was able to attack the strike zone a little bit more, all right, you know, he probably could go deeper in games and he could be more effective. You also wonder if he'd get hit a little bit harder. So sometimes it feels like he's nibbling out there. Meanwhile, with Marcus Stroman tonight, you see the opposite where, I mean, he had the ball on a string, okay? He had the ball on an absolute string. He was hitting his spots. He was missing just out of the zone, getting guys to roll over pitches. You know, he just got a ton of ground balls. What was the ground out to fly out for Stroman? 15 ground outs, 3 fly outs, 3 strikeouts, and, you know, some double play balls mixed in there. It was an unbelievable performance by Marcus Stroman. It just was. And it made me wonder. It made me think. It made me scratch my head. Guy has a player option that is almost for sure going to opt out of and hit free agency. So he's a rental on a Cubs team that likely isn't going to contend seriously this year. And there's every chance that with a rebuild that's, you know, in full swing, that they're kind of, well, not at full swing because they're coming out of it. You know, the Swanson money certainly was a sign that they're starting to build a future. And then they extend Ian Happ and they got Nico Horner, who I believe he might have got a little extension himself as well. So they got a core there on the position player front, Matt Mervis debuting. But I don't know if they view Stroman as the ace that they're going to go into the future with. They might look at him as, oh, that's a really nice piece we can flip. And there's a chance Stroman might be the best option available. I'm going to get to all of that in just a minute. Before we do, though, today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Do you want the most comfortable shorts ever? Okay, this is why you want to try Bird Dogs, because you have that comfort, but you also have versatility, because you can wear Bird Dogs on the golf course. You can wear them out to dinner at night. You can wear them to church Sunday morning if you want to. You can wear them at home, just lounge around, watch a Mets game, because they're that comfy. And they look great, obviously, with the versatility I just described there. Personally, the wife loves me in Bird Dogs over basketball shorts. It's just that simple. It's just that simple for me. So if you want to try Bird Dogs yourself, go to birddogs.com/lockedonMLB and use the promo code LockedOnMLB, and you're going to get a free Yeti-style tumbler from Bird Dogs with every order. Again, that's birddogs.com/lockedonMLB, promo code LockedOnMLB, and you're going to get that free Yeti-style tumbler. Now, the New York Mets traded for Marcus Stroman once when he was a Toronto Blue Jay back in 2019. A puzzling trade at the time. Birdie Van Wagenen at his finest. Let's acquire another pitcher and we're going to corner the market. I am, you know, smarter than everyone, BVW thought. And I'll have, I remember specifically they traded for him. They said, it's not for sure that we're going to keep him because we have 2 years of control on Stroman. They had a rental in Wheeler and they had 1 year of control beyond in Syndergaard. Something along those lines, if I remember properly. And it, or you know what? Maybe it was the other way around. Actually, Syndergaard, they had 2 years beyond that season. Stroman, it was 1 year beyond because he ended up coming back on the qualifying offer. And then it was Wheeler with the rental. So it was like, any which way a team wants to go, we had the pitcher. And they held on to all three of them, and they made a run with all three of them, although they came up short. Then 2020 happens. Stroman got hurt, then opts out of the season. 2021 comes back on the qualifying offer. Pitches it out, bets on himself. With the Mets, 2021, 33 starts, 3.02 ERA across 179 innings pitched. He was awesome. Absolutely awesome that season. Consistent. I think it's not even, I'm trying to remember back. Don't really think there's going to be an argument made for anybody else who was a better starting pitcher on that team. I'm trying to jog the memory. You know, DeGrom was amazing, but it was 15 starts. Who else was on that team? Syndergaard never came back. Carrasco wasn't very good. You had Taijuan Walker. It's only a couple years ago. It's crazy how much this Mets team has changed since then. But yeah, I mean, Stroman was the guy that you could count on throughout a season where there was not a lot to count on, particularly down the stretch. Tyler McGill got a lot of run late. David Peterson, Joey Lucchese. I mean, a lot of these names that we've even seen this year that have been inconsistent at times. Stroman wasn't. Stroman was really good, okay? He ends up playing out the qualifying offer, hits free agency. The Mets didn't really seem to be interested at all. They go and they sign Scherzer. They trade for Chris Bassett. They were kind of happy to let that thing go, and you can kind of speculate on that however you want to. It seemed like the Mets wanted to change the characters in their clubhouse. Stroman, an outspoken guy on social media. They decide to, you know, bring in a different era of Mets baseball and, you know, kind of flush 2021. And Stroman signs with the Cubs 3 years, $71 million with escalators after each season, or escalators if he hits 160 innings pitch in each season on his third year option. So essentially, $25 million year one, $25 million year two. It was basically a 2 year, $50 million deal that he's pitching in the second year of. He did not hit 160 innings last year, it was around 138. So he did not get that first escalator. So now if he pitches over 160, he'll have a $23 million player option. If he doesn't hit 160, he'll have a $21 million player option, and he can either exercise that or test free agency again. Now, looking at what he's done with the Cubs last season, first nine starts, I remember he struggled. I remember Mets fans being happy about it because that's what Mets fans can do when a guy leaves. You root for their, lack of performance. So the Mets were right on a free agent decision. It's a little bit weird, but I understand it's kind of a natural inclination. So I remember that start of the year where people were kind of celebrating that, oh, wow, Stroman's got an ERA over five. Well, what happened last year, if you really dive into his season, nine starts in, he gave up nine runs in, I think, the ninth start. And he had a shoulder injury that he got on the aisle with, and he had COVID at one point. And there's some quotes from David Ross basically saying he wasn't right coming off COVID, and then he had the shoulder thing. Comes back July, across 16 starts down the stretch, pitched to a 2.56 ERA, got the home run per nine at 0.79, so really keeping the ball in the yard, and you know, really showcased the same type of pitcher that he was the year prior. 11 starts so far this season, 2.95 ERA. He has pitched 64 innings, still home run per nine at 0.70. It's a ground ball pitcher that continues to keep the ball right there on the ground, who finds a lot of success, who pitches pretty deep into games, who, you know, is just a quality starting pitcher. And when I look at the free agent market, or not the free agent market, excuse me, the trade market at the deadline this year, and I scan if the Mets needed a pitcher, where would they go to? I ultimately come to the conclusion that there's not a lot out there and they might have to stay internal unless they trade for a guy like Stroman, or there's a couple other names. So what I want to do is I want to explore those names and see if I could take some Mets fans who read the title of the podcast today and were way out on this crazy idea, and if I can soften you to it a little bit. Before we get to that, today's episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Try it free for 30 days, just enough time to try it. That's what they tell you, and then you completely forget about it. 80% of people forget the subscriptions that they sign up for. You could be wasting money and not even realizing it, and that's where Rocket Money comes in. They'll help you find those forgotten subscriptions so you can stop paying for the ones you don't use. Most Americans think they spend $80 a month on subscriptions, but in reality, that number is closer to $200. If you don't know exactly how much money you're spending every month, you need Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. Stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to RocketMoney.com/LockedOnMLB. That's RocketMoney.com/LockedOnMLB. RocketMoney.com/LockedOnMLB. The Mets play the Cubs again tonight, 7:40 Eastern. Catch every pitch of the Mets hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Just search Mets. All right, so what pitchers could the Mets acquire at the trade deadline? Before I get to the names I pulled, let me just go through the teams that probably won't trade with the Mets or don't have a pitcher to offer. Start in your own division. Most teams aren't going to trade within the division. Braves, not happening for sure. Phillies, not happening for sure. Marlins, likely wouldn't happen. And what are they going to trade you outside of like a Johnny Cueto and he's been hurt? Not happening, right? Nationals, what do you have there that they really want? And any piece that they have figured out, like if they believe Josiah Gray is a good starter, they're building around that type of a pitcher. So you're not getting anyone from them. You go to the Central. Brewers, they're contending. They're in first. As much as I'd love to see Corbin Burns on the Mets, I don't think that's happening now. The Pirates, are they going to give up their one good pitcher and Keller that they just developed? Doubt it. You're going to get Rich Hill back or Velasquez. I don't think there's anything there that excites you more than just a healthy Jose Quintana. That's kind of the bar you have to climb here. You know, can you get a pitcher that would be a better four than a healthy Jose Quintana? And honestly, the answer might just be no. But for this exercise, okay, we'll go through teams. Cubs, Stroman, we're going to talk about him. Drew Smyly, another one, honestly. But and two guys you saw in this series, mind you. Cardinals, they don't have pitching anyway. That's why they put themselves in the hole that they're in. Reds, they're not trading their three young studs. Dodgers, first place. Diamondbacks, 8 games over. They're trying to compete this year. Giants, we're going to get back to them. Padres, they're not trading Darvish or Musgrove, and there's no one else of value that you'd want, unless you're trying to get Seth Lugo back. And again, better than Quintana, I don't know. Rockies, nothing there. Okay, you go to the AL. Rays, Orioles, Yankees, Red Sox, Blue Jays, all trying to contend. Crazy division. Central, Twins, they're trying to contend. Tigers, we'll get back to them. Guardians, get back to them. White Sox, we'll get back to them. That's the division that teams are going to be looking at. Royals, not much there to trade for. Rangers, they're contending. Astros, Angels, Mariners are all trying to contend. Yes, Shohei Ohtani is a pipe dream we'd all like to think about, but more likely that's a free agent discussion. Athletics, there's nothing there. So let's get to the pitchers you can actually target here. Start with the Guardians, Shane Bieber. One more year of arbitration. If they continue their slide and aren't contending and haven't locked him up to a contract, that is the one pitcher that I realistically look at and I say, I'd like him more than Stroman. Is he going to cost more than Stroman? Absolutely. But you have him under contract for another year, and maybe the Mets do if they are going to part with prospects. Maybe they want that control. Maybe they want more than a rental, which they have shown in the past that that is kind of their mode of operation. They prefer not to just trade for rentals, but it could cost you a lot. Now, Shane Bieber, he would come in, and assuming you still have Scherzer and Verlander, if you have Scherzer, Verlander, Bieber, Senga as your playoff rotation, your rotation next year, like that a lot. There's been a dip in velocity for him. Spet the metrics don't love Bieber anymore, but that's because he's not striking out the world. He still got a 3.08 ERA and looked pretty damn good against the Mets the other day. So that's one I actually really, really like. Now, beyond Shane Bieber, Lucas Giolito for the White Sox, 3.62 ERA in 10 starts. But he pitched to a 4.90 ERA last year, and I feel like he's a guy that could have a change of scenery and not do well. So there's that. Dylan Cease, 2 more years of arbitration after this season. Doubt that the White Sox trade him, and it would take a king's ransom to acquire him. I already mentioned Ohtani. Eduardo Rodriguez, having a nice season, has an opt-out that he might be exercising. If not, the Tigers might want to get out of that money. There is a very fun and weird and kind of stupid Eduardo Rodriguez, Javi Baez trade that could be made where you take all the money away from the Tigers and you pair Baez with Lindor again and you slide Jeff McNeil back into the outfield and might as well trade for Stroman too and relive the 2021 nightmares. I don't think the Mets would do that, but that is a crazy world that you could live in where you could get Eduardo Rodriguez for pennies on the dollar because you absorb Javi Baez's contract. I'm telling you, that's not the last time you're going to hear this one, okay? So just food for thought. I just to point out, I was talking Wilson Contreras trades in May last year when nobody was, and by July, everyone was talking about him. I was talking about David Robertson in May last year. Everyone was talking about him by the deadline, and the Mets ended up signing him this year. So not to say I can see into the future, but I follow the tea leaves a little bit quicker sooner sometimes. And I'm telling you right now, Erod Baez, it's going to be an SNY article in 2 months. I just promise you that. Now, again, Brewers already said no Corbin Burns. I wish it was a case. Giants, Alex Cobb is an option. $9 million this season, $10 million club option, $2 million buyout. He's pitching really well this year, 2.17 ERA, but he's 35. I don't know if you like Alex Cobb that much. Maybe you do. I don't really like cheering with the Giants at this point after the Darren Ruff situation, if it was me, but hey. Now, they just extended Logan Webb, so that's pretty much off the table. So that kind of takes you through all the teams and gets you back to the point where I look at Marcus Stroman as a rental and think, you know, the cost to acquire could be cheaper than a Bieber, could be cheaper than, you know, of course, your Ceases, your Ohtanis. May not be cheaper than Giolito, but you might want him more. You know, could potentially be cheaper than Erod. Don't know exactly what they're going to be doing with him at this deadline. So there's not a lot. And also, like, Eduardo Rodriguez hasn't ever really been a frontline starter. And the thing I do like about Marcus Stroman, you know that he went into tonight like it was a big game. Because it was a big game. Pitching against his former team, you know, pitching in front of his home crowd at Wrigley. Seemed like it was a pretty good crowd. He was playing to that crowd. This is a guy that I feel like lives for the big moments and probably would be a decent playoff pitcher, especially as your four. Where maybe if you did, you know, have the benefit of a long playoff run and you had series over series, he'd probably have a couple clunkers in there where he, you know, might get pulled in the fourth inning sometimes. But he also might have a start where you had to go to him, you know, in whatever game it is. And in the, let's just say you had to go through the wild card round and game one of the NLDS to get things started right. And he gives you what he just gave the Cubs against the Mets and wins you a game. So I don't think it's going to happen. I put it right there in the same conversation with Erod Baez. Like, I don't know if those things would happen, but they're going to be talked about, I think, at some point. The only thing I would say about Stroman, to throw some cold water on this one, is I just don't know if that bridge was burned in free agency that year. And, you know, that would be a player that wouldn't want to come back to you and a player the Mets wouldn't want back. But if it's strictly performance-based, who would you want pitching for the Mets? If you had to acquire a starter at the deadline, who would be better than Jose Quintana and David Peterson and Tyler McGill and Carlos Carrasco? And name whatever four you want. Because I was on a podcast, I was on the Just Baseball Show last week, and they asked me who the Mets four starter was in the playoffs if they made it there. And I about had an aneurysm trying to think about who it would be. I was like, I guess McGill? So again, if that's something the Mets have to figure out at the deadline, I would tell you that they could do a lot worse than Marcus Stroman. I'll leave it at that. That's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. We're going to close out the week for all you everydayers. The podcast I'm sure you've been waiting for. When does the last baby Met join the party? Ronnie Mauricio discussion. We're going to get to that tomorrow, of course. Close out this series against the Cubs to discuss if the Mets are able to get one, and preview what lies ahead. So make sure you check out Friday's show. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan has you covered with everything going on in Major League Baseball. Follow Locked On MLB wherever